The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking level, adjusting cam, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday, day two of Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation hearings to be the newest justice of the Supreme Court. You know, I sometimes screw up names. It's just a function of old age, I guess. But I will not forget her name because Brown Jackson. You know, my dog is Jackson Brown, so it's easy for me to remember. Ketanji is what I have a hard time remembering from time to time. But I think I can manage it, you know? I think I can manage it. So we got a lot of stuff. You know, it's Tuesday, Laffy's here. So we're going to go through a lot of what happened today, and a little bit of what happened yesterday in the confirmation hearings. But it's what you would expect. The usual suspects are showing their true colors. You know, Lindsey Graham. Oh, boy. Ted Cruz. You know, the usual suspects. So we'll get to that. As far as Ukraine and Russia, I don't have many new developments. And actually, from Tanya, she's just taking the day and hanging with her sister and unwinding. You know, it sounds like from the conversation we had yesterday that she is decompressing. You know, first of all, from the time she left Kyiv to go to the first place where they were staying out in, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, she admitted, she said, "I believe I was in shock." She said, "You know, I've been sort of in a daze through this whole thing." So I think now that she's safely in Dubai with her sister, I'm hoping she's sleeping a lot because, you know, I'd imagine that it's pretty difficult to sleep when you have air raid sirens going on all the time. And in fact, I don't know if you heard this or not, but President Zelensky, during one of his speeches in the last couple of days, he had recorded out on the street of Kyiv the air raid sirens on his phone, and he was sitting behind his desk. You know what? I bet I can. I wonder if I can. I think I can bring up this video here. But I want to play for you. Here it is. Ooh, you can see him. Hold on, I'll bring up the video, and you can see he's just holding up his phone so you can hear what he recorded. Can you imagine? Yeah, and he played that. He said, so the people would know that's what it is and to be prepared for it. I don't think anything could prepare me for that, frankly. I just do not. Elaine in the chat room says, so many Ukrainians will have PTSD. I think they already do. And that's what I was saying about Tanya. She's in shock. You know, they say they used to call it shell-shocked when a member of the military, they'd call him shell-shocked when he was like in a daze, when he was so affected by what was going on around him. I just don't, I have all the sympathy in the world for everybody dealing with this. And it's hard to watch it. So I didn't hear from Tanya today. Like I said, I'm hoping she's just unplugging, unwinding, hanging with her sister. We'll hear from her when she's ready to talk. I've got more bad news today. So I'm reading about this story, BuzzFeed. You know that BuzzFeed, the home of the listicles? You know, BuzzFeed is never a site that I had any use for, except when it comes to news. They have a really good news department, and it's separate and apart from BuzzFeed proper. It even has its own URL, buzzfeednews.com. And that's where my friend Jason Leopold has been working for the last however many years. Well, today I read something about BuzzFeed might be, you know, they've been told that they'd be better off just folding the entire news division because it's losing a lot of money, you know, as opposed to the listicle site that makes money. People's priorities are messed up, man. Anyway, so it said they've offered buyouts to many of the senior editorial staff, meaning the editors and stuff, and the senior reporters. And I messaged my friend Jason Leopold, and I said, does that mean this is it? He said, it sure looks that way. I'm so devastated for him. He said, it was a good run. This is a terrible business to be in. You know, hopefully he shouldn't have any trouble finding something new, except in this climate. Because if he was a right-wing nut job who had no problem making up stories, he'd be employed no problem. But because news, which should not have a partisan bent, these days does, there's a whole lot more money on the other side than on this side. I'm sure he'll be fine. Jason is a great reporter. This just sucks because he's been just tearing it up over there. He's been doing such a great job. So I feel bad for him. I had mentioned yesterday the possibility that Lisa Graves might join us this week. Lisa Graves, if you've listened to this program for any amount of time, you've heard her. She is my legal expert. She was a deputy assistant attorney general in the Clinton administration and has held a whole bunch of jobs with the Senate Judiciary Committee on nominations and things. I mean, this is her area of expertise. These days, she runs an organization called True North Research, and they're at truenorthresearch.org. And she does things like investigations, uncovering what the Koch brothers are all about, or Alec, and things like that. Anyway, Lisa's going to join me on Friday to give her thoughts on how this week's confirmation hearings went. And she's always great to talk to, so we'll do that. Lava is asking, is Joyce Kaufman still on the air in Florida? I think so. I don't know why, but I haven't heard her in years, but I think so. Okay. it's not a question that anybody else is. Joyce Kaufman, she's a broadcaster. She talks like this. She always wanted to be Randy Rhodes, and Randy got the thing with Air America and went national, and Joyce Kaufman was all jealous. And she couldn't get arrested for the longest time. And then she decided to go right wing. Sure enough, she's a right wing nut job and she gets a job. You see, we could all do well if we'd only sell our souls, which I'm not willing to do. I'd rather starve before I did that. So anyway, Koch is still in Russia. Koch is still in Russia. They made it. I guess one of the Kochs are dead now. So it's only one Koch brother who's surviving. And what he said was, well, if I leave, then the Russians will just take over my factory and they'll reap the benefits of all I've built. So I'm not leaving. All right. You do you. You do you. All right. I think it's time for us to do Laffy. Well, you know, so to speak.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with a laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Yes, every other Tuesday these days, our pal Gotta Laugh joins us to talk about the Twitters and the news and the everything else. So without any further ado, hey, Laffy.
Hey.
How are you?
You're going to do Laffy, are you?
I'm going to do Laffy.
I haven't been done in a week.
It's better than
last
I've
time I was on air with you. Oh, that was 2 weeks.
2 weeks ago. There you go.
Yeah. Without you doing me.
Wait, hold on. I'm just a little slow on the uptake today, but.
Yeah, so am I. It's okay.
Oh, so you see my beautiful, I'm wearing sunflowers today. Joy in the chat room is like making sunflower jewelry and giving them to our fellow chatters as a way to, you know, shout out to Ukraine. And in fact, I'll point out my newest sunflower window art behind me.
I think this is my favorite.
Really? Cool. Mm-hmm. So I made this
happy.
One. It is happy. The last one I did was a little darker. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. Things are dark over there. But this one's happy. And I'm working. I know sunflowers are now in demand. Somebody wanted the other one so badly, so I sold it. But I'm making more. I will have one for Tanya once she goes home and has a place, can hang it again. But here's one that's in progress, too. And I'm trying out new techniques as well. So you can't really see it because of... You know.
Oh, sure you can. You can see it.
So this one is the work in progress. And it's two pieces. There's the front piece that's clear. And then here's the blue background for the sky. So anyway.
I still like the reversible one.
Well, so what you're saying about reversible, I'll show you later. But basically, that window I'm selling, the sunflowers behind me, and it has two inserts. So there's the sunflowers. And then, hold on, let me go grab the other one. The other one is this. So it's just other flowers and hummingbirds. So for when you want a change of pace, and they'll swap out with Velcro attachments. See, I'm getting all kinds of creative now.
Well, you know, if you just got a whole bunch of the same frame and then sold just the inserts after the initial one,
then people can mix and match
money
on their own. Yes.
And then they would, they could just keep doing it. That's interchanging. I love that idea.
So I'm working on it. I got to find more of those frames. See, those frames I found online and somebody had two of them. So I need to find a way to get more of them made because I really like that one. I have this other frame. I don't know if you see the reddish one behind me.
It's a little church-like, though.
It is a little church-like. This one's lighter. Yeah. That one's a little darker. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. The other one's a little more farmhouse or
It's more rustic, warmer, more like, shabby chic kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the word, shabby chic.
Yep. Anyway, this is fascinating radio for those listening. Yes, I know. Richard Blumenthal. Richard Blumenthal is, wrapping up, I believe, his questioning of Katrina.
And Josh Hawley's
they're still
next.
Talking. Josh Hawley's up next?
Ugh. That's what I read.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's all right.
We're not entering that door.
I'm not going down that rabbit hole because that's ugly. So yesterday was pretty messed up. Josh Hawley
I had some tweets about that. You want to go through it?
Why don't we do that? Let's let's let loose the birdies, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome to my tweets.
Okay, well, I know what the Twitters are all a Twitter about today because it's about Ketanji Brown Jackson, right?
It's about that, and it's about Ukraine, and it's about I don't know. There's
a lot of stuff.
I'm going to open with something that's completely different. Completely off topic.
Okay.
That may very well blow your mind because it blew my mind. It's blowing Twitter's mind. Are you ready?
Uh huh.
Senator Braun, he's a Republican, I believe, from Indiana.
Yes, yeah.
If I got that right?
Yep.
Here's what he told reporters today. He told reporters today the issue of abortion should be left to states to decide. But then he said in a follow-up, he said that the U.S. Supreme Court shouldn't have legalized interracial marriage nationally. It should have been up to the individual states.
Oh, my God.
And then the quote is, if you are not wanting the Supreme Court to weigh in on issues like that, you are not going to be able to have your cake and eat it too. That would be hypocritical. So they're not even trying to hold back anymore. They're just saying, you know what? Those darkies over there don't belong with us superior white people. That's what they're saying right out front.
Meanwhile, all you need to do is take a look at Ketanji Brown Jackson's family. Because her husband is white, and she's got two beautiful mixed-race daughters.
Oh, God, that one daughter
is
smiling at her. Oh, my God, she's gorgeous.
The other
one
I couldn't see yesterday, at least, because she was masked. I don't know about today, because today I've been listening. I haven't been watching, because I've been working. But, her daughter's gorgeous. And that she's the one that Cory Booker told the story about. She wrote a letter to then President Obama saying you should nominate my mom to the Supreme Court when she was 11 years old.
Aww.
Can you imagine?
Love that family.
Me too.
Well, I love listening. Let me get rid of this tweet, this Braun tweet, because it makes me sick.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's related to Eva. Braun. You know.
Oh, Ellie Mistal just tweeted that Durbin says they're going to 9 p.m. tonight. So 6 p.m.
Okay.
My time.
Okay, so we'll have plenty of time to go back and watch after the show. We're just taking a little dip. A little sorbet sort of palate cleanser here, right?
A little sorbet. Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Putting your toe in the water.
Because we're sweet.
Well, here's a couple of
because we're sweet and cool.
Yes, of course. Lawrence O'Donnell had a couple of for your information type tweets that I found interesting.
Oh, okay.
Here, there are two of them. Okay. The first one says, and he's talked about this on his show, so if you've watched his show, you know what I'm going to say. Most of the 115 Supreme Court justices did not have confirmation hearings. The most important Supreme Court cases were decided by justices who never had to answer any senator's question about anything ever.
Really?
Hearings became routine because of television.
Huh. Okay, and that makes sense, right?
And then he goes on to say, oops, that's not him. Oh, please don't make me have lost. Oh, here it is. I had lost, by the way, all the tweets I put up. And I found them in my history, so luckily they popped back up. I had such a panic attack. Anyway, then he says, for the first 127 years when only white Christian men were allowed to be Supreme Court justices, there were zero confirmation hearings. Confirmation hearing was invented for the first Jewish nominee.
That would be Brandeis.
That would be Brandeis. Thank you for remembering his name, because you know I was going to forget.
I know.
Yeah.
Wow.
And here's another little tidbit. And this applies to today more or less, too. Uh-huh. This is from our buddy Aaron Rupart.
Okay.
CNN, Fox, this is yesterday. CNN, Fox, and MSNBC have all decided not to carry the first portion of Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation hearing live. A notable change from the Trump years when these hearings received wall-to-wall coverage.
Wow.
Now, today, I saw somebody tweeting that they were jumping back and forth between Ukraine, the Supreme Court hearings, Ukraine, you know.
Wow.
So, but they wouldn't give her the same attention still that Trump's nominees got.
Right. That's amazing. You know, I noticed yesterday I started out on CNN, and then they cut away after, like, you know, after the beginning, after early. And so, you know, I went to actually ABC News. ABC has been carrying it all day.
That's what I heard. And I went to C-SPAN, so I wouldn't have to even deal with ABC. Uh-huh. Yeah, somebody tweeted me that ABC was carrying it, but C-SPAN, you know, wall to wall. So
Hernan in the chat room is saying, Holly is pissed because Ted Cruz asked all the CRT line of questioning first. Because Cruz did go all out on the critical race theory. Maybe we'll get to
it. I think I have one or two on that. But he was just white-splaining his ass off. And Ketanji was like, you know what? I'm going to give you a pregnant pause before I answer.
Oh,
did you hear? She went, Senator.
Yep.
And then she started to talk.
She's so great.
It was brutal, and she didn't have to say a word.
That lengthy silence was good. And then she's like, you know, you're asking about this stupid book. You're asking about, that doesn't inform me. I'm not up on it. It doesn't have any bearing on how I decide any cases. Nothing. There's nothing. There's no there is basically what she said. Now go away.
I started asking her about a school and a book. I don't even know. The whole thing was so, like, I said to somebody on Twitter that I wanted to, like, disinfect, like, use Trump's bleach and inject it and cleanse myself of this stench of the Republican Party. It's just sickening.
Yep.
And which brings me to yesterday's first tweet that I picked up, and it was my own, actually, but it was a quote. Grassley opened his statements by saying that we're not going to turn this into a spectacle.
Oh, my God. And even Lindsay, Miss Lindsay said,
Miss Lindsay,
it's not going to be a circus. It's not going to be a circus. And then, let me just share this with you because this is too funny. I didn't do this. Oh, shoot. Now the window closed. Damn it. Oh, I'm going to find this clip for you because it's just too damn funny and it's right along those lines. So give me 1 second because I've got right here. I think Aaron Rupar put this together. Somebody put this together. It wasn't me, but it was here. Listen to this.
It won't be a circus. We're off to a good start.
Look at the friggin' Afghan government. It's made up of former detainees at Gitmo. This whole thing by the left about this war
thing by the
ain't
left.
Working.
And then he gets up and walks out to the circus music.
When he got up, bro, he said freaking or friggin'. He said friggin' something. I said, oh, Lindsay's mad. I got to listen. Yeah. So, I opened up my eyes and I turned on the sound and then he was storming off.
Let me play this again because I do have the video. Yeah.
It won't and be it's a circus. Just, we're off here. To a good start.
Look at the friggin' Afghan government. It's made up of former detainees at Gitmo. This whole thing by the left.
Thing by the left.
Ain't working.
Ain't working. This whole thing by the left.
Great music.
It's perfect. Whoever mixed that together, I thank them. I thank them. That was very good.
And that was, I think it was triggered by, wasn't he yelling about keeping detainees locked up forever?
Oh, yeah. I want them all to die, basically, is what he said. I'll be okay if they all die there. Okay. Guys, yeah.
Pro-life Lindsay, right?
Yeah. Here it is. Here's the clip. Hold on.
Okay.
As long as they're dangerous, I hope they all die in jail if they're going to go back and kill Americans. It won't bother me one bit if 39 of them die in prison.
Yeah, Lindsay was in fine form today.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're just saying it all. There is no pretense anymore at all.
It's none at all.
Unbelievable. I really wish sometimes that, I mean, most of the time, the Democrats would let, when they do that, would let them have it back. You know, they don't have to do it to the circus music on their own, but they could certainly shoot back some bullets because this is just awful. Rubber bullets, of course.
Right.
You don't want to hurt anybody.
No.
I mean, we don't want to kill anybody. That would hurt.
Yeah,
I have to keep qualifying everything I say because
I know.
I'll hear about it.
I know.
Okay.
Yes, I know.
Ian Millhiser said, this is yesterday.
Okay.
Today's hearing makes, it actually applies to every day. Today's hearing makes a lot more sense if you understand that the sole purpose of each of these speeches is so that the local news will clip 10 seconds of them and show it to the senator's home state.
Oh, without a doubt.
They're all campaign ads. They're all clips for Fox. They're all to feed red meat to their vile little base. That's what they're doing. They don't care about. I mean, they know how they're going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about enlightening us.
Right. Their mind's already made up. This is all kabuki theater. That's all this is. Then this is it's a election year, so they're all preening.
Well, that's why Lawrence was saying there is no reason to have these hearings. Nobody had them before,
right?
And it's all geared toward television and sound bites.
Yep, that is true.
So,
it's true. Yeah.
Anyway, Ellie. So I have a lot.
Ellie Mustafa. I got to tell you something. If you can only follow one or two Twitter accounts for people live tweeting these hearings, Ellie Mustafa has to be number one. He's at Ellie, ELIENYC. Because he gives you substance, but he's so fucking funny, too. So you will laugh. He entertains you along the way.
Well, not only is he funny, but when he's not being funny, he says things in a way that anyone can understand. He puts it in total layman terms.
Right. Well, that's like what I'm saying. He's full of information. That's first and foremost. But he does it with a sense of humor.
Oh no. I mean, definitely. But I'm just saying, even when he's not being funny, he says things in vernacular, in just everyday, maybe I have. Do I have
here?
Any?
Well, here's one about the clip I just played. He writes, folks, it's not the most important thing this morning, but I for real cannot get over that Lindsey Graham literally screamed on camera that he wants people to die in jail without due process and was angry that the judge didn't agree with him. This is some jackboot stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And then there was another one because Who was it? I think it was John Cornyn. Was it John Cornyn who kept asking about, oh no, it was Lindsey Graham. Who was it who asked about her religion? One of them.
It was
Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham
asked about her religion. I actually have the clip here.
First thing out of the gate.
Yeah.
About faith.
And if you want to hear it, I do have it. But but do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's just do it. So this is, this is how Lindsey Graham pretty much started his questioning. And it is shocking. I was shocked by it. I think it's shocking. All right. So here is, I'm going to put up the video too, so you can see the smug look on his face. And by the way, here, let me just play it. So, and then I'll weigh in. Here's how this went.
I agree with you more, and I believe you can. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how faithful would you say you are?
Oh my God!
In terms of religion,
and look at her face.
I go to church probably 3 times a year, so that speaks poorly of me. Or do you attend church regularly?
It's none of your fucking business.
I am reluctant to talk about my faith in this way, just because I want to be mindful of the need for the public to have confidence in my ability to separate out my personal views.
Well, how would you feel if a senator up here said, your faith, a dogma, lives loudly within you, and that's of concern? How would you feel if somebody up here on our side said, you know, you attend church too much for me, or your faith is a little bit different to me, and they would suggest that it would affect your decision? Would you find that offensive?
I find you offensive.
Senator, I would
if I were you. I found it offensive when they said it about Judge Barrett.
God.
The reason I ask these questions is
he doesn't want an answer. He just wants
your faith is important to you, and I have zero doubt that you can adjudicate people's cases fairly if they're an atheist. If I had any doubt, I would say so. But the only reason I mention this, Judge, you're reluctant to talk about it because it's uncomfortable. Just imagine what would happen if people on late night television called you an effing nut speaking in tongues because you practice the Catholic faith.
I'm biting my tongue.
In a way they
so you can hear the shit that he's spewing.
Uncomfortable. So, Judge, you should be proud of your faith. I am convinced that whatever faith you have and how often you go to church.
Look at her eyes. Look at
your ability to be fair.
She's stoic, but she's shooting daggers.
And I just hope going in the future that we all can accept that. And that Judge Barrett, I thought, was treated very, very
poorly. This is not about Judge Barrett.
So I just wanted to get that out. Let's talk about
okay, obviously he wanted to get that out. So what Ellie tweeted is, just like, let's remember that Amy Barrett has written about how her faith should influence her judicial opinions, while Ketanji Jackson is saying that her faith shouldn't have anything to do with her decisions. That's
exactly
the difference. If you like Barrett, if you say my life revolves around my faith, it's the centerpiece of my existence, well, then it's, you know, it's ripe for being asked questions about it. With her, that's right? It has nothing to do with anything.
But this was all about grievances. Most of what came out of their mouths today was an excuse. You know, it was all about, Kavanaugh.
It was all whataboutism.
Whataboutism.
About Kavanaugh and Amy COVID Barrett. But, you know,
Okay, on to the next one.
Okay.
Ellie Massal yesterday, and then I'll read you the versions for today.
Yeah. But
yesterday, he said, it's only the first half of opening statements on the first day. But so far, the Republican attacks are, one, you like pedophiles. Two, and terrorists.
Yeah.
Three, but let's talk about the time we confirmed an alleged attempted rapist without an investigation, and everybody got mad at us.
Hello. Hello. Yeah.
But
That's all he does. Oh, so I tweeted out something about someone should give Lindsey an aluminum pole and tell him, save it for Festivus. It's December 23rd. Please.
Yeah.
Because all he wanted to do was air his grievances. That's all it was about.
I think I have a feeling he'd use that poll for other things. Oh, but that's just well, me.
It's Lindsey Graham. Of course. It
yeah. Charlie Pierce said, Tail Gunner Ted, this is yesterday, but yep. it applies today. Tail Gunner Ted is confusing this hearing with a CPAC general session.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of resemblance there.
Yeah, it's all about just get up and give a speech and let your audience, your little base, cheer and salivate.
And by the way, did you hear trucks. Ted Cruz yesterday plug his podcast?
Yes. Oh, God. Unbelievable. Okay, what's this one? I just lost my place here. Oh, there my. We go. Okay. So today, Elie Mystal did a little bullet pointing, and he said Republican attacks so far today at the confirmation hearing. One, Jackson should be sad people like her. Two, Jackson should be sad that Republicans nominate justices accused of attempted rape and theocrats. Mm. And finally, Jackson doesn't think prisoners should be thrown in a hole to die without due process. So that's today.
Okay.
That's the rundown of today. That was earlier today. Okay. Oh, and here's another one from him. He was talking about I don't remember who was doing the questioning.
What was it about?
Was it White? I think it might have been White House talking about tampering with the jury.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. They were talking about jury tampering, and he was kind of saying, commenting on that, kind of wondering what was going on, and then he goes, "Oh, I was trying to figure out where this discussion on the jury was going. Now I see, quote, tampering with the jury is pretty serious, unquote. Jackson says she agrees. Tampering with the jury is something that Trump gets accused of doing from time to time." So he thinks that the questioner, and I think it was either White House or I don't remember, was trying to lead her in that direction so that that could be on the record.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So that was interesting.
Okay.
I like this from Chasten Buttigieg.
Yeah.
We get it, Senator Cornyn. You're still mad at gay marriage for taking away none of your rights.
And in fact, oh my God, did Cornyn, he just was horrible on that subject. He is here. Here's a clip.
I'm not going to show video. We're off to a good start.
Oh,
look at the friggin' Afghan government.
Oh, this
made
is,
up a former detainee.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm hitting the wrong one. No wonder. That was the circus one again. I was like, that's
I am aware
like
that there are Cornyn. Various religious faiths that define marriage in a traditional way.
Yeah. Do you see that when the Supreme Court makes a dramatic pronouncement about the invalidity of state marriage laws, that it will inevitably set in conflict between those who ascribe to the Supreme Court's edict and those who have a firmly held religious belief that marriage is between a man and a woman?
Well, Senator, these issues are being litigated, as you know, throughout the courts as people raise issues. And so I'm limited in what I can say about them. I'm aware that there are cases.
No, I'm not asking you to decide a case or predict how you would decide in the future. I'm just asking, isn't it apparent that when the Supreme Court decides that something that is not even in the Constitution is a fundamental right and no state can pass any law that conflicts with
out,
the Supreme
Senator.
Court's
Spit
edict.
It out.
Particularly in an area where people have sincerely held religious beliefs, doesn't that necessarily create a conflict between what people may believe is a matter of their religious doctrine or faith and what the federal government says is
no.
the law of the land?
No.
Well, Senator, that is the nature of a right, that when there is a right, it means that there are limitations on regulation, even if people are regulating pursuant to their sincerely held religious beliefs.
Do you agree with marriage is not mentioned in the Constitution, is it?
It is not mentioned directly, no.
And religious freedom and is mentioned in the First Amendment explicitly,
too
correct?
Much.
It is.
My goodness. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, this goes back to Braun.
Right.
He's saying the same thing. Okay, so now they've covered interracial marriage, gay rights,
yep.
and abortion.
Yep. Right. And, right.
They're going for the, I mean, if we lose, you know, elections coming up that are, if we don't stop all this voter suppression and overturning of elections and everything else they're doing, and we lose, those three things are, well, they're going to probably be gone anyway with
right.
the Supreme Court.
Right. I do need to play for you one other clip from John
yeah,
Cornyn while we're
it.
On Cornyn, because
yeah.
this is shameful. This is just sickening. I'm not going to put up the video again. It's just a pain in the ass. But here is, I'm just going to play it and then we yeah. can react.
Okay. When Clarence Thomas, the second African-American who was nominated
Jonathan.
To and confirmed by the Supreme Court, was nominated to the court, did you celebrate that as a historic event?
What kind of fucking question
I'm
is that?
I'm trying to remember where I was at the time. I believe I did. Yes.
I think
she was 12.
Right. What a ridiculous question. It just is mind-boggling.
She's black and he's black. Don't
yes.
you get it?
Right. Well, you're black. You should be celebrating. Aren't you celebrating?
Yeah.
Isn't that historic?
That
you're historic.
Like
that's
historic. That's like asking me if I celebrated Trump. I'm white.
Right.
He's white.
Right.
So I guess I have to celebrate him.
Yeah. Yep. Unbelievable.
Or Marsha Blackburn. She's
yeah.
a woman. I'm a woman. We're
yeah.
both white.
Right.
So everything she says, I have to say, yay, she
of
got elected.
Of course.
Woo-hoo.
Right.
Oh, my God. But yeah, this is the same road they're all going. This is, if you're seeing the momentum grow now for this talking point, it's becoming a talking point before our very eyes.
Yep.
It's unfolding in these questions, and it just came out on Twitter with Braun. So it's metastasizing.
It's
and
amazing.
It's going to get louder. So be prepared for this now.
Oh boy.
Because they know their court's gonna do this stuff. They know their court's gonna get rid of all the freedoms we've fought for.
Yep.
And they're gonna say it's for religious freedom.
Well, of course.
It makes me sick. Oh my God.
And we didn't even get to Ted Cruz.
Oh, we'll get there in a second.
Oh, yeah.
This might not this week, but the next
okay.
one.
Okay. All right.
Oh no, this one too. This is Ellie. And by the way, I'm running out of tweets. I went through them quickly, but
that's
I still
okay.
have that one from Cliff that I want to get through
okay.
that thread that we'll go through. But okay, so two about Ted Cruz.
Okay.
Maybe I'll read Joyce's first. Hers is more explanatory.
Yeah.
Joyce Vance said, Ted uh-huh. Cruz is trying to call out Judge Jackson as a what? Sponsor of CRT, as if that's a bad thing,
right.
by noting books with anti-racist themes are taught at Georgetown Day School, where she's on the board. She summons her patience and responds with dignity the question didn't deserve. Okay, that's the first one.
Okay.
Let's see what Ellie said. Cruz, quote, I see in activism and advocacy as concerned sexual predators, that's a quote. And then he says, this is not true. For instance, of the two people in this interlocutory, only one of them has voted to confirm a person who has been accused of attempted rape.
Oh.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
So, yeah, that's what I got on Cruz.
Okay, well, I pulled two clips, and there was tons. You
right.
know, look, they each had a half hour to question her. That's why this
mm-hmm.
is going to go so long. They're going to go till 9 o'clock
yeah.
tonight and then through tomorrow, basically the same thing, because once mm-hmm. they get, and I think there are 22 senators on the committee. So once they get through the first round of questioning where they each get a half hour, they get another 20 minutes in the second mm-hmm. round. So this is going to keep going for a while, but here's a little, I'm not going to make you look at Ted Cruz's face. Here's
yeah.
here's Ted Cruz on CRT.
Skipping ahead, here's what's wrong
Skipping
with this.
Ahead.
It's ridiculous. Skin color is something we all absolutely see. Skipping ahead, so to pretend not to see color is pretty convenient if you don't actually want to stamp out racism in the first place. Now, what this book argues for is the exact opposite of what Dr. King spoke
He's
about.
He's talking
on the
about some book
the,
that she
Lincoln
probably
Memorial.
Has never even heard of
and,
before.
And
right.
Right.
Are you comfortable with these ideas being taught to children as young as 4 and in respect to the first book, as young as 8 and 9 in respect to the second book?
Senator, I have not reviewed any of those books, any of those ideas. They don't come up in my work as a judge, which I'm respectfully here to address.
Good for her. Now, here's the other one I pulled.
Project, which I believe is deeply inaccurate and misleading.
Oh, God.
1619 Project is closely intertwined with a movement that is called critical race theory. Critical race theory, as you know, originated at your and my alma mater at the Harvard Law School. In your understanding, what does critical race theory mean? What is it?
Senator, my understanding is that critical race theory is it is an academic theory that is about the ways in which race interacts with various institutions. It doesn't come up in my work as a judge. It's never something that I've studied or relied on, and it wouldn't be something that I would rely on if I was on the Supreme Court.
Boom. That's all you need to hear. I thought that was just perfect.
That's all she had to say. I call CRT Cruz racist theory.
Well, that works. By the way, so
it does.
We are not listening. We knew Josh Hawley was coming up next. Aaron Rupar just tweeted.
Yeah.
Josh Hawley went into graphic details of child porn images. I'm refraining.
Of course he did.
I'm refraining from posting a clip.
Oh, you've got to. I want to hear what he
has. Well, that's what he said. I'm refraining from posting a clip.
Oh, he said that.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying
no,
that.
No. That's what he said. He said Josh Hawley went into graphic details of child porn images. I'm refraining from posting a clip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so, I'm sure we'll hear about it.
But beneath that, there is video of the aforementioned Senator Braun, I guess a relative of Eva's. Let me just play this for you.
Okay.
Here we go.
So you would be okay with the Supreme Court leaving the question of interracial marriage to the states?
Yes, I think that that's something that if you're not wanting the Supreme Court to weigh in on issues like that, you're not going to be able to have your cake and eat it, too. I think that's hypocritical.
Oh, my God.
About Griswold versus Connecticut.
Well, you can list a whole host of issues. When it comes down to whatever they are, I'm going to say that they're not going to all make you happy within a given state, but that we're better off having states manifest their points of view rather than homogenizing it across the country as Roe versus Wade.
Those are called laws.
That would be Mike.
Homogenizing it?
Yeah. Homogenizing it. Senator Mike laws. Braun of Indiana wearing the original Nazi. Okay.
Wow.
There you go.
But the other part of the quote was about interracial marriage, which they didn't catch.
Yeah. By the way, yeah. Still no update on Justice Thomas, who the court said on Sunday expected to be released from the hospital in a, quote, day or two. He was absent at arguments for a second straight day today. Court spokesman said he does not have COVID. But did you hear Jen Psaki does?
Yes, for the second time.
Diagnosed again. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's inevitable when you're with so many people, and if you go unmasked at all, I mean, I will not go unmasked if I go out to a store or any place.
Anytime I go, I don't wear a mask if I'm outside, but if I walk indoors into a store, the mask goes on. I don't care if I'm the only person in this, and not that I go into stores very often. And you know what? Usually I'm not the only person wearing a mask. There are other people and you know, it is what it is. Deal with it.
I'd say about a third wear masks.
A third. Yeah.
And in our area, we're pretty well vaccinated. We have about an 80% vaccination. But they're removing tariffs. Okay. U.S. and the U.K. struck a deal to remove U.S. tariffs on British steel and aluminum.
Oh, okay.
And the U.K. will lift levies on American whiskey, motorcycles, and tobacco.
Right.
So everybody can drink and smoke.
Okay. Oh, there's another Ted Cruz one here. I should play this for you.
It's
with him with one of these books. Oh, this goes too long, but I'll play a little bit of it for you.
So Judge Jackson, all of us will agree that no one should be discriminated against because of race. when you just testified a minute ago that you didn't know if critical race theory was taught in K through 12.
She didn't say that.
Confess,
she said it isn't.
I find that statement a little hard to reconcile.
That's not what she said.
With the public record. Because if you look at the Georgetown Day School's curriculum, it is filled and overflowing with critical race theory.
He's talking about a little private school, by the way.
Books that are either assigned or recommended.
Oh, he's pulling out props.
Include.
Did you see the picture?
Critical race
put?
Theory, an introduction.
No.
A children's book.
They include.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's probably going to show it now.
The End of Policing, an advocacy for abolishing police. They include How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram Kendi.
And what's wrong with that? What's wrong? Hold on. Why is that wrong? Why is that bad? I think being an anti-racist is a good thing, and he's saying that's a bad thing? Okay.
Don't you know that's too black if you're anti-racist?
You can't be anti-racist. So that would mean it's okay to be racist. Okay, just checking.
The ones that were most stunning. They include a book called Anti-Racist Baby by Ibram Kendi.
Yeah.
And
there it is. Right?
There are portions of this book.
Picture. Yeah, here comes the pictures.
That I
saw. I am showing video of this. Oh, and
really
he's putting it up
remarkable.
On the board.
One portion of the book says babies are taught to be racist or anti-racist.
They are.
There is no neutrality. Uh-huh.
Okay, can I just tell you?
Another portion.
In the Broadway musical, South Pacific, there is a song called Carefully Taught. You've got to be taught to hate and something. Mm-hmm. You've got to, it's basically about people are not born this way. You're taught these horrible things. I'm going to pull up all the lyrics while we listen to Ted Rafael Cruz make a fool of himself.
For the book.
Oh, God, look at this one.
They recommend the babies confess when being racist.
And what does this
now,
have
this is
to
a
do
book that is
with Judge
taught at Georgetown
Brown Jackson,
Day School
please.
To students in pre-K through second grade,
because
so 4 through 7 years old.
Because he's tying in babies, race, and pedophilia.
Do you agree with this book that
he's
is being
tying
taught
in the
with
QAnon.
Kids that babies
wait,
are racist?
I want to hear her response.
Senator.
There it is. There it is.
Yep, that's the pause.
I do not believe that any child should be made to feel as though they are racist or though they are not valued or though they are less than, that they are victims, that they are oppressors. I don't believe in any of that. But what I will say is that when you asked me whether or not this was taught in schools, critical race theory, my understanding is that critical race theory as an academic theory is taught in law schools.
Hello.
And to the extent that you were asking the question, I understood you to be addressing public schools.
Yep.
Georgetown Day School, just like the religious school that Justice Barrett was on the board of, is a private school.
Okay, yep. So you agree critical race theory is taught at Georgetown Day School?
I don't know, because the board is not, the board does not control the curriculum. The board does not focus on that. That's not what we do as board members. So I'm actually not sure.
Well, and I'll note that the board is chaired by Professor Fairfax, your college roommate who introduced you yesterday. So the
point
two of you
being,
serve on the board together.
Yeah.
Another book that
fuck?
Is on
what
the
was that about?
Summer reading for third through
too.
Fifth grade is a book called.
Wait a minute. Excuse me? What did that have to do with anything? Anything.
What does this have to do with anything?
Nothing. Okay, let's see what book he pulls out next.
Stamp for Kids, again by Ibram Kendi.
Oh.
I read the entirety of the book, and I will say
the person's name is Ibram.
an astonishing book. On page 33, it asks the question, can we send white people back to Europe?
Good question.
That's on 33. That's what's being given to 8 and 9 years old. It also... On
and
page
what does this have to do with Judge
says
Jackson?
The idea that we should pretend not to see racism is connected to the idea that we should pretend not to see color.
Right.
It's called color blindness. Skipping ahead, here's what's wrong with this. It's ridiculous. Skin color is something we all absolutely see.
Okay.
Skipping
true,
ahead, so to
right?
pretend not to see color is pretty convenient if you don't actually want to stamp out racism in the first place.
Yeah.
Now, what this book argues for is the exact opposite of what Dr. King
Oh, you're going to lecture to her about Dr. King.
And are you comfortable with these ideas being taught to children?
Oh my God!
As young as four, and in respect to the first book, as young as eight and nine in respect to the second book.
Oh my God,
Senator, I have not reviewed any of those books, any of those ideas. They don't come up in my work as a judge, which I'm respectfully here
for the second time to say
in my work as a judge, which is evidenced from my near decade on the bench.
Okay, good. Then let's go back to your work as a judge.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Let's do that.
Let's
go back to something relevant.
Oh, my God. Okay, so.
I have to shower.
Okay. Here, just Teddy, Raff, listen. Ready? Here are the lyrics. You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are six or seven or eight, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. If Rodgers and Hammerstein know it, Ted Cruz, you should know it. God damn it.
Oh, he doesn't know nothing. Okay, so let's go to Joan McCarter's tweet about Marsha Blackburn.
Oh, God, Marsha Blackburn. Oh, my God.
Now, you and I have talked about this, months ago.
Yep. Okay.
And we're going to now confirm what you and I talked about and what we sounded alarms about.
Okay.
Just in case you were wondering, Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn doesn't think you should have the right to use birth control.
That's right.
That's the other thing they're going to be going after. So we've got interracial marriage. We've got gay rights. We've got birth control, and we've got abortion. So they're going to wipe all of those, you know, freedoms.
Yeah.
Liberties.
But you know what?
She's
just despicable. Yeah. And yesterday, I don't think she's gone yet today, but I did pull yesterday. Oh, I played a couple of clips from her but then I watched the whole thing. I got to share this with you. Okay. First of all, this is her at the beginning because she's all so sweet and kind and so friendly.
As you have heard repeatedly, this is going to be a fair and very thorough and very respectful,
hearing.
We're going to work through this process with some tough questions, but do it in a manner, the respect that you deserve.
Oh, the respect that she deserves. You want to hear how Marsha Blackburn thinks she deserves to be respected?
Yes.
Well, here's just a sample.
You once wrote that every judge has, and I quote, personal hidden agendas, end quote, then influence how they decide cases. So I can only wonder, what's your hidden agenda? Is it to let violent criminals, cop killers, and child predators back to the streets?
Oh, sure, of course.
Is it to restrict parental rights and expand government's reach into our schools and our private family decisions? Is it to support the radical left's attempt to pack the Supreme Court?
Of course.
You have praised the 1619 Project, which argues the U.S. is a fundamentally racist country.
Oh, my goodness.
And you have made clear that you believe judges must consider critical race theory in deciding how to sentence criminal defendants.
Really? She's made that clear.
Is it your personal hidden agenda to incorporate critical race theory into our legal system?
Okay, let me just say something. Because she asked, I'm doing air quotes, all those questions on a day when they were not asking questions. They were just delivering a statement. So she asked those questions to the judge who could not answer all those fucking allegations. Wow. Marsha fucking Blackburn, I got a song for you, bitch.
Well, I need you to shut the fuck up because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to
shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bom, bom. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bom, bom. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bom, bom. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bom, bom. See, I know where it ends. Yes, but
I want to read you a thread by our friend Cliff Shepard.
Okay.
It says here, for your information, says Cliffy, if you believe Republicans on child porn, since we're talking about how evil child porn is and how she's all for it,
she's all for it, obviously.
Yeah. GOP senators supported Trump after a 13-year-old girl credibly accused him of rape, and he admitted wandering through beauty pageant changing rooms to see naked teenage girls. Republican senators support Roy Moore, a guy whose boss move was calling up girls in the eighth grade trig class to ask them out on dates. Yep. Republican senators have never had a thing to say about the fact that the longest GOP Speaker of the House ever, Denny Hastert, yep, went to prison for molesting teenage boys. Republican senators currently have nothing to say about Matt Gaetz, credibly accused and likely soon to be indicted for trafficking teenage girls.
Hello.
Republican senators also have nothing to say about Representative Jim Jordan, who, according to numerous sources, knew his wrestlers were being fondled by a doctor in the showers at Ohio State and chose to just ignore it. Dang. So this is just in case, for some crazy reason, you actually believe anything Republicans have to say on this subject. Like everything else, they're projecting, they don't care, and it's all about power.
Wah, wah, wah. We have another song, just because I'm in a singing kind of mood today. And this goes to all those fucking senators who were just so holier than thou with their bullshit, you know, whataboutism crap.
Fuck you, fuck you very, very much.
And I'll play the whole thing, you know, to me, but I can't hear because I'll get copyright violated. I can get away with that much. Lily Allen's Fuck You, but that's a real song. Her name is Lily Allen. Go listen to it in its entirety because it's wonderful. Sometimes
I wonder if you could ever get permission from her.
I don't know. I don't know her. I don't know her.
Oh, although, you don't.
I think we have mutual friends, though. Oh, you never know.
Yeah. You never know.
Yep. Okay.
Do a cover version.
I should get Lauren Mayer on. I've got a few things that I would like her to, you know, sing. There's so many songs that I would like to play these days, and I can't. So just like,
I know,
I do whatever I can.
I got pulled off Twitter for a couple of hours at one point because I had a song under a video. It's like a 30-second video of my dog.
Oh, yeah. No, they'll do that. You know, I'll get a copyright violation for posting a picture of Jackson swimming in the pool and the music, the background music that's just playing. That's what they need to fix, this copyright nonsense.
It's a little crazy, a little nuts, a little crazy.
Yep.
But we got to be fair. We got to be polite.
Yep.
We got to be fair.
Yep.
I'm Marsha Blackburn and I'm fair.
And I'm so sweet. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be respectful while I roll out some great A bullshit. And
I'm a respectful racist, damn you. It. Do you mean? I'm a respectful racist and I demand respect.
Yeah. Joy Williams is asking, what is Laffy's real name?
I don't use it because I actually have put it out on Twitter once or twice because the Associated Press did a story on me.
Oh, right.
And they wouldn't do it without
your name,
putting my name in it. But I wouldn't let them use the name Gottelap along with that. So they couldn't associate it unless you recognize my picture.
Right.
But I've never used my name online because I got too many stalkers coming a little too close.
Yeah. But I've had stalkers, but I still use my name.
You're braver than I am. I don't want to deal with it.
No, I don't blame you.
Maybe when I go to Canada,
I will. I know your real name, and I still call you Laffy.
Right, I know. I like it. It's so funny because so many people call me Laffy over the years that I prefer it now. I mean, it's like I'm familiar enough with it now that that's what I answer to.
And the husband.
So that's fine.
Oh, I thought
Mr. Laffy.
Right. Oh, I see what happened. Oh, I'm playing okay. I thought I was playing the music theme because we're at the 2-minute mark. I hit the theme and I realized on my normal button thing, I have our Laffy introduction where I usually put the theme music. By the way, I should tell you, people often ask about this music that plays before the show and like at the end.
I love it.
This is Lily Hayden, who's an amazing artist who, she's a Grammy winner. I'm trying to remember the name of her band, and I'm drawing a blank on it. But she's been on the show. She did a Monday music thing with me one week when I was doing the music thing. And she's just amazing. She does, her main thing is she plays violin and she sings. She's incredible. But I asked her one day, I needed music. And I said, do you have any, beds lying around? And she sent me a bunch of them. And this one is the one I decided to go with.
I love this one.
It's Lily Hayden, if anybody wants to know. L-I-L-I-H-A-Y-D-N. Lily Hayden. Check her out.
Lily.
Yes.
Lily.
Yes. Okay. So I guess with that, we are, you know, at the end of the hour. So
well, what do you know?
What do you know? what is happening with the thing now? Oh,
who's up?
Well, Judge Jackson is speaking. I don't know who is questioning her. I guess I could bring her up for the last minute or so. Where's your
Why
honor?
Not?
Okay, hold on. Unmute. Here we go. Oh, her music is on the same pod as the... As this, her thing is on the same thing as the music. So if I turn her up, the music goes up. If I turn her down, all right. All right. Bye, Progressive Voices. You know what? Once Progressive Voices leaves, then I can bring her back up. But they're still with us. So give me a minute.
I'm also very conscious of the limits of judicial authority. Of the
I don't know who she's answering.
That exist in the law to prevent me as a judge from becoming a policymaker. This means that I carefully scrutinize my jurisdiction. It means that I look at the text and focus on the text and the intentions of the legislatures
yeah.
that drafted that provision, or the intentions of the framers that put forward that constitutional principle.
Okay, Progressive Voices is gone.
I'm looking at precedent.
I still don't know who she's answering.
If I was fortunate enough to be confirmed to the Supreme Court, I would be upholding the principles of stare decisis as I consider the precedents and making sure that the court is putting forward consistent and predictable rulings, as is important to maintain the rule of law. All of these I see as constraints on judicial authority that I care deeply about in order to maintain my independence, as is necessary to ensure public confidence in my rulings as a judge.
Judge Jackson, I have sat on this committee now for a number of years.
It sounds like Marsha Blackburn.
As some of my colleagues.
It's Maisie Hirono. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to disparage Maisie Hirono.
Methodology to be as succinct.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna turn this off. We're gonna end. But Maisie Hirono is now questioning Judge Jackson, and it's there. It's going to be going on for at least another 3 hours, apparently. So Laffy. All right. I guess we'll see you in 2 weeks, unless, you know, you want to come back sooner. And if not, it's okay. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
I love you.
All right. I love you too.
I'm going to DM you when I get off.
You are? Okay.
I have a secret message for you.
Ooh. Okay. All right. So I'll get Laffy's secret message and I'll leave you guys with the news because, you know,
Bye.
I can. All right. And then tomorrow. What do I have to? Tomorrow, I'm supposed to have Larissa Alexandrovna on.
Oh, my now, God. I haven't talked to her in an age.
Right. I haven't spoken. Well, we spoke the other day. We hadn't spoken in about 10 years. And Larissa was one of the OG progressive bloggers. She was a managing editor for Raw Story back in the day. She had her own blog at Largely. She dealt with national security and foreign affairs and all that stuff. And she was born and raised her early years in Ukraine, in Odessa, which just started getting bombed. And she's got very definite opinions. In fact, you know, when she used to live down here, and that's how I knew her. We were friendly. And then she met Scott Horton. Scott Horton does the anti-war radio show. He's on KPFK in Los Angeles. She married him. They moved out to Austin. By the way, the tornadoes apparently hit like 2 blocks from her house last night.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, so she was right in the middle of it. We were supposed to talk yesterday. And she's like, you know, she has lupus too. And so she said the lupus flares up with stress and with everything going on in Ukraine. She's stressed, so she's got these welts that got infected. She had to go to the doctor. So, but we are going to talk tomorrow, and I think we're taping tomorrow, like midday. just because she's got a young child now, so she has to be there to take care of her kids. So fingers crossed that Larissa's feeling okay and that there aren't tornadoes touching down. She's going to join us tomorrow and give us a very unique perspective on what's happening over there from someone who still has a home there, who still has friends and family.
Please.
I will. I'll pass that along.
Thanks.
All right. So Larissa Alexandrovna Horton tomorrow, we hope. All right. I'll leave you with the news and see you later. Thanks for listening. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler.
What's new? I gotta turn her down.
And the Progressive Voices Network.
Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson's Supreme Court confirmation hearings officially began on Monday. Each of the 22 members of the Senate Judiciary Committee had 10 minutes for an opening statement. That was followed by Judge Jackson's own opening statement. The Democrats almost universally praised her record, some noting that upon taking the bench, she's much more qualified and experienced than most of those already sitting. And despite their assurances that they wouldn't personally attack her, as they claimed Democrats did to Brett Kavanaugh, many of the Republicans previewed the attacks they'll be pushing for the next few days. Though they were delivered with smiles and dripping with insincerity, they flew freely on the hearing's opening day, like from Marsha Blackburn, who promised she'd be respectful.
As you have heard repeatedly, this is going to be a fair and very thorough and very respectful hearing, and we're going to work through this process with some tough questions, but do it in a manner, the respect that you deserve.
I guess this is how Marsha Blackburn is respectful.
You once wrote that every judge has, and I quote, personal hidden agendas, end quote, then influence how they decide cases. So I can only wonder, what's your hidden agenda? Is it to let violent criminals, cop killers, and child predators back to the streets? Is it to restrict parental rights and expand government's reach into our schools and our private family decisions? Is it to support the radical left's attempt to pack the Supreme Court? You have praised the 1619 Project, which argues the U.S. is a fundamentally racist country, and you have made clear that you believe judges must consider critical race theory when deciding how to sentence
criminal
defendants.
No, she didn't.
Is it your personal hidden agenda to incorporate critical race theory into
our legal
system?
Yeah, you get the idea. So day one concluded with Judge Jackson's opening statement. She told senators that she takes her duty to be independent as a judge very seriously.
I have been a judge for nearly a decade now, and I take that responsibility and my duty to be independent very seriously. I decide cases from a neutral posture. I evaluate the facts, and I interpret and apply the law to the facts of the case before me without fear or favor, consistent with my judicial oath.
Well, Tuesday and Wednesday will consist of intense question and answer sessions. Each senator gets 30 minutes during the first round and another 20 minutes during the second round. If confirmed, Jackson will become the first Black woman to serve on the high court. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, helped put her nomination in historical context, noting that of 115 Supreme Court justices, 108 have been white men. Democrats hope to confirm Judge Jackson to the Supreme Court by early April. Turning to Ukraine, at least 8 people were killed after a Russian missile struck a 10-story shopping center in the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv. It marks the latest in a string of attacks across the country on civilian structures or areas where residents have taken shelter. Then there's Mariupol, the Ukrainian city once home to almost 500,000 people, which President Volodymyr Zelensky said has been, quote, reduced to ashes. U.S. officials have also confirmed that Russia has used hypersonic missiles, which travel at least 5 times the speed of sound and are nearly impossible to intercept. These developments, as President Joe Biden and other world leaders will hold a set of emergency summits in Europe this week, though there's not a whole lot of hope that the talks will yield peace. And then on another front, cybersecurity officials say there's evolving intelligence that Putin's next escalation could be a direct cyber attack on the United States. President Biden issued an urgent warning to American business leaders on Monday, telling them to strengthen their company's cyber defenses immediately. Biden saying that U.S. companies have a patriotic obligation to invest in bolstering their defenses against cyber attacks that Russia could launch as it continues to face harsh sanctions over its invasion of Ukraine. Biden reiterated that the U.S. has, quote, evolving intelligence that Russia may be planning a cyber attack against us. He said the magnitude of Russia's cyber capacity is fairly consequential and it's coming. He also told members of the Business Roundtable that federal assistance was available to companies if they needed it, and said that his administration was doing its part to prepare for such an attack. Uy. Officials in many allied countries are describing the war as rapidly reaching a stalemate. Others have expressed concern that the danger to civilians will rise as Russia increasingly uses missiles and long-range artillery after being unable to capture cities outright. And then there's Russia's action. Russian troops on Monday fired stun grenades and warning shots to disperse Ukrainians protesting against Russia's invasion in the city of Kherson in the south of Ukraine. Video footage shows several hundred protesters running away as projectiles landed around them in Kherson's Freedom Square. President Zelensky praised the courage of the protesters after they confronted the Russian forces occupying their city. He said, quote, there's no need to organize resistance. Resistance for Ukrainians is part of their soul. And then he added that the war and commitment to defending the country has turned ordinary Ukrainians into heroes. Well, here's something. The Wall Street Journal is reporting Tuesday morning that after the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, the U.S. went on a secret buying spree, picking up a, quote, small number of Soviet missile defense systems so that they could be examined by U.S. intelligence experts and help with training American forces. Well, now the Wall Street Journal is saying the U.S. is sending some of those air defense systems to Ukraine to help them shoot down Russian fighter jets and missiles. Ukrainian soldiers already know how to operate the old Soviet weapon systems. President Biden says he was authorized to give Ukraine and NATO allies the weapon systems from the secret Soviet stockpile under the annual spending bill he recently signed, and that Congress had been notified about the transfers. Good. In a somewhat related story, Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny has been sentenced to 9 years in a high-security prison away from where he's currently being held in Moscow, for fraud and contempt by a Russian court. He's also serving 2.5-year sentence for parole violations. And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.